Rebel Yell Podcast on the Trib Live High School Sports Network. We are chilling between the conclusion of the WPIAL Championships and the start of the PIAA Championships. The path to the Pete is over. The road to Hershey will begin on Friday and Saturday with first round action. We welcome back Mr. Kyle Dawson. He was a man's man this weekend. He was at all 12 of the championship games, including the six boys title games, which we'll be talking about here. Kyle, again, you and others involved, including our producer, Chris Lackner, yeoman's duty, a salute to you and your pals.
We appreciate that. It was a grind, to say the least, and one that we're used to at this point, but not having been a part of the football playoff coverage, it was just good to set this on air in the 6A title game. It was just good to be back there and doing what I think, at least, what we do better than anybody in this area, and that's doing high school sports.
Yep, well said. All right, let's look back at the title games, and let's look ahead to the state playoffs. We're going to start in Class A, no big shock. It was 1-2, and it was a very heavy favorite 1-2. Game effort by Neighborhood Academy, but in the end, they, like everybody else in the district, falls to Imani Christian. The Saints repeat. We had repeat winners in four of the six classifications. Imani Christian, 78. The Neighborhood Academy, 49. Again, started out good for the Bulldogs. They're up by four after the first quarter, but once the lights went on in quarter two, the Saints just took off and they were like the Roadrunner. They were gone.
Yeah.
33 points in that second quarter alone.
Yeah. I seem to remember, and again, you're going to have to bear with me if you're listening to this on details, because 12 games is a lot and all the details tend to slur together. But I remember I don't know if it was a turnover or a foul really, really early, first couple seconds of the second quarter, and that just flipped the switch, and Imani went off from there. Wasn't too surprising. I was actually pretty pleased with the first quarter, real competitive, and then things went south for Neighborhood Academy. I thought it's still a pretty good basketball team that played there against Imani Christian. There's a big gap between, and we'll get to that in 4A too. There's a big gap between 1-2 and then 2 in the rest of the way in Class 1A. I was super impressed again with Imani Christian. Had a chance to call their game against Union last year at the Peterson Events Center. And, they lose a couple of big time players and they regroup and went down there and did their business again. RJ Sledge was really impressive, as he always is. Nate Brazil, really good. Avery Wesley, really good. I think he was our player of the game in 16 and 8 rebounds, and real game effort from Imani Christian, just completely boat racing Neighborhood Academy after the first quarter.
Yeah, good description there. Those three that you mentioned, Brazil leading the way with 17, Wesley and RJ Sledge with 16 points each. They also played a role in the Saints championship run a year ago. Courtney Wallace did what he could, 28 points for Neighborhood Academy. So the WPIL sends five teams into the state playoffs. Imani Christian will be taking on Union Reimersburg from District 9. That game will be at Norwin High School at 7:30. Runner-up Neighborhood Academy will be taking on Rocky Grove from District 10. Neighborhood Academy, that game is at North Allegheny High School Friday at 7:30. The Union Scotties on the road, they will be headed to Turkey Foot Valley out of District 9. That game at Pitt Johnstown at 6 p.m. Manesson will be at Elk County Catholic from District 9. That's at 6 p.m. Turkey Foot Valley, by the way, I think it's District 6. And Rochester heads north. They will take on Farrell at 7 p.m. I'll ask you this for all six classifications, and this is going to be tough and probably not fair, so I will open it up to everybody. Okay. I usually ask guys at the start of the state playoffs, is there a team that did not win the WPIL championship, but District 7 team, that could make a long run in the state playoffs? I mean, Imani Christian's a heavy favorite to win this whole thing. But is there another team, and I think your point was made earlier, that could at least make a deep run of it?
I didn't see much of 1A beyond the championship game this year. I'd say that Neighborhood Academy still looked pretty good. And Wallace was obviously pretty tremendous in that game despite a loss. I know Union's been really good for the last couple of years, so it wouldn't shock me if they put together a couple of wins just without looking at the bracket and seeing which D7 teams could meet each other in the second round or quarterfinals. I think both those teams are pretty good. Obviously, Manesson's got a great program history, and Rochester's been pretty good too. So I guess that's all five of them. But Neighborhood Academy for me.
You can't be doing that on all of these.
I think Imani's easily the favorite out of the District 7 teams to go the farthest. But Neighborhood Academy, if I have to pick one, that team looked real good down there despite a loss against a team that I think is just leaps and bounds. No offense to TNA, but just leaps and bounds better than them.
No, you made a good point in that, there's it's a chasm between Imani Christian and everybody else, but there's also a nice gap. Neighborhood Academy approved that between themselves as the number two team out of the district and everybody else. They beat up on a pretty good Rochester team. And you mentioned those other teams, Lucas Stanley from Union, Xavier Rigby from Rochester, and Lorenzo Gardner of Manesson. Three guys who really had tremendous regular seasons, so they could get hot. But I agree with what you're saying. And if there's anyone that's going to win the Class A and Class 4A champions, they won it state titles last year, and they're in good shape to maybe repeat as PIAA champions. All right, let's go to Class 2A now. The championship game wasn't much of one. From a competitive standpoint, Aliquippa, using some mad defense, really shut down Greensburg Central Catholic, a good Centurions team, 69-32, and it was over from the start. Three points scored in the first quarter by Greensburg Central Catholic. They're down 13, they're down 20 by halftime, and the deficit just continued to grow. Really impressive repeat for Aliquippa.
Yeah, I believe all of Greensburg Central Catholic's points in the first quarter were by free throw, too. They started 0 for something from the field, and we'll talk about it when we get to 6A, too. I think that's what doomed Baldwin. But 1 of 10 from 3, 12 of 34, that's 35% from the field versus video game-like numbers, and I think even borderline not video game-like numbers in the sense that these are ridiculous. Nobody shoots 12 for 15 from three-point land like Aliquippa did. That's 80%. Shot 58% from the field. Josh Pratt had one of the best performances we saw all weekend down there. 33 points on 13 of 20 shooting, 7 of 9 from three-point land. He was nuts and couldn't miss from deep range. And Greensburg Central Catholic, that's a good basketball team, and that's a well-coached basketball team. Christian Highland's a really good coach. And a youthful coach for GCC. And really, it was only Tyree Turner that could do anything against Aliquippa's defense. And even Turner, 6 for 13, 16 points. They turned the ball over 16 times against the suffocating Aliquippa defense. That was as impressive as we saw a team down there just completely dominating from the word go in that 2A championship game with Aliquippa. I was really, really impressed. Not that we weren't impressed with them all year and impressed with them last year on their championship run on the win against Northgate, but that was something to behold at the Peterson Event Center. I believe that was on Saturday.
Check out the Player of the Week podcast. I had a chance to talk to sophomore Josh Pratt, very well-spoken young man, and he was giving lots of love to his teammates, but he set a WPL record with those 7 three-pointers. Very impressive indeed. Tyree Turner, who Kyle just mentioned, had himself a fantastic postseason, 18, 20, 21, and as Kyle mentioned, 16 in the championship game. But Josh Pratt, if you're talking about an MVP for a postseason, listen to his numbers. He had 11, still was tied to be the high scorer in the first round victory over Nazareth Prep. The starters didn't play a whole lot. Josh Pratt scored 24 in the quarterfinals victory over Sarah Catholic, 26 in the semifinal win over Fort Cherry, and then 33 in the championship game. 69-32, back-to-back titles for Aliquippa. They go after that elusive state championship. Now, here are the first round matchups. Those 1A games coming up are on Friday. These are on Saturday. Aliquippa will be hosting Otto Eldred out of District 9. That's a 2 o'clock start. Northgate, runner-up a year ago, will be at Red Bank Valley from District 9. That's a 1 o'clock start. Jeanette will take on Iroquois out of District 10. That's a 1 o'clock start. Greensburg Central Catholic, the D7 runners-up, will be hosting Winbur. That's a 2 o'clock start. Fort Cherry takes on Carn City out of District 9. Sarah Catholic goes up against a good District 6 champion in West Branch. And Bishop Canavan visits Conemaugh Township Saturday afternoon at 4 o'clock. Let's take Aliquippa out of the mix, and they are definitely one of the favorites of any district in the 2A boys state playoffs. But what other team can make a nice long run?
Well, I think Greensburg Central Catholic can bounce back. I know, again, that's kind of the easy answer as the runner-up, but they've had a real good season. Again, a really well-coached team behind a player that can take over a game in Tyree Turner. I haven't seen the 5, 6, and 7 teams out of 2A. I saw Fort Cherry a couple of times. I'm still really impressed with that team. I think Eugene Briggs has done a great job since coming back to the Rangers program. That's a team that if it can knock down shots and run like it wants to and play the suffocating defense that we saw from Aliquippa in the championship game, something that's a calling card for Coach Briggs and the Rangers, that's a team that can make a little bit of a run. And again, this is all me saying all these things without knowing a single lick about the teams that they're playing. I don't state playoff wise, but right. Fort Cherry is a team that can make a run. And I've also been impressed by Northgate the last couple of seasons. I think they're well coached in a good system. And if they can start to knock down some shots and get their guys going, that's a team that can win a couple.
Yeah, big gun and Cam Williams. Mm-hmm. Indeed. All right, let's go up to 3A now. One of the more competitive championship games saw Deer Lake's edge rival Burrell 55-49. If there's a team that earned their gold medal, it's Deer Lake's. First round blowout over Stowe Rocks. They needed overtime to beat Elwood City in the quarters. They needed overtime to beat Neshanic in the semis. And this game could have easily gone to overtime. Burrell had several opportunities, I think 4 possessions when they were down by 2 late to tie or take the lead. They came up empty on all 4. And the Lancers also repeat as WPIL champions.
Yeah, they were really impressive in a game that you got to call. I was thrilled with that game. I didn't know what to expect going in. Deer Lakes had kind of beat up on them once during the regular season, and it was a close game. I believe if it was at Burrell, it was a close game, or one of those two was at least an earshot. But that was a really good basketball game between 2 AK Valley schools, as we were calling it up in the media area, the AK Valley Super Bowl between those two. Deer Lakes got a real good performance from Billy Schaefer. I was impressed again with Colin Richards. And how about Nathaniel Moore, too? 16 rebounds in a single contest. Really impressive stuff from him, even despite not having a ton of points. And Deer Lakes got enough of what it needed to get to play that same kind of championship game they did last year against Olsh. Burrell could have used a little bit more from Tucker Bitar, but, you know, 1 of 7 nights are going to happen for guys like that. And they got enough out of Mackie Benish, just not quite enough in the end to pull it off as a Cinderella to become champion. But there's another team that's definitely earned its state playoff bid, because that's an 11 seed coming in the district playoffs. An afterthought, really, if you're doing bracketology or trying to figure things out as they go along, but a real impressive run by them. And they go from an 11 seed in the district playoffs to being able to host a state playoff game. So that's great for that program and that roster.
I thought the key was what Deer Lakes did to Burrell in the first half. Tucker Bitar and Mackie Bennett had really been the big dynamic duo for the Bucks. Bitar had 21 in the first round. Bennett had 23 in the quarterfinals. They both combined for 30 points in the semifinals. At halftime, they had a combined 2 points. Bitar hadn't scored yet. As you mentioned, he only ended up with 5 points. Bennett ended up with 17, but I'm sure that he's kicking himself, wishing he would have done more early on, mm-hmm. because 15 of those came in the second half.
Right. Yeah, but a real good game between two programs that are familiar with each other. And I thought that was one of the best games of the weekend, and probably anticipated that going in, just knowing how Deer Lakes kind of plays. But a real good basketball game between those two.
All right, 3A coming up, first round of the state playoffs Saturday afternoon. Deer Lakes and Burrell, the two championship teams, championship game teams, will be home. The Lancers hosting Mercyhurst Prep out of District 10. Tough ask at 1 o'clock. Burrell has maybe even a tougher ask. They're taking on a Bishop Guilfoyle team out of District 6 that was ranked in the state rankings until they were upset in the D6 semifinals. So Marauders are going to be a handful for the Buccaneers. That's a 1 o'clock tip. Other teams from D7 on Saturday in 3A, Neshanic will visit Franklin out of District 10 at 1 o'clock. Not a far trip for the Lancers. Shadyside Academy is at Chestnut Ridge from District 5. That's a 4 o'clock start. Elwood City gets into the playoffs as the number 7 seed. They will visit Westmont Hilltop out of District 6. That's a 3 o'clock start. These are all home games in the first round, unless your gym is not capable of hosting. Mohawk at Montauk from District 9. That is a 6 p.m. start. And Derry heads north. They will be taking on Girard at the Haggerty Family Events Center in Erie. That's a 7:30 start Saturday night. For the Trojans, anyone jump out as a team, that a dangerous team that is not named Deer Lakes in 3A?
Yeah, well, I think you would say Burrell again, but they were an 11 seed coming out of the district playoffs, and you'd mentioned they draw the tough task with Guilfoyle. I think Mohawk comes to mind probably out of the rest of the bunch. I think it's a pretty good Shadyside team. I haven't seen Neshanic this year, but I had a chance, I think, to see them last year in the playoffs. But Bobby Fadden, I believe, is a sophomore still for Mohawk, yep. Up over 1,000 points. He's very good for the Warriors. So I think Mohawk, if I'm to pick one out of that lineup, and kind of boat raced a little bit by Burrell in the district semifinals, but a team that I think certainly can have some noise in terms of the PIAA playoffs is Mohawk. Even Neshanic, they can be in there too.
That's a good call with the Warriors, who I think many were surprised were not playing for a District 7 title. 4A, Lincoln Park, heavy favorites against a very good Hampton team. Most years, that would have been a Hampton team that probably would have been hoisting gold. But Lincoln Park, what a machine. 66-51, they take care of the Talbots. This one tied early, a 2-point lead for the Leopards after one, but they outscored the Talbots 19-11 in the second quarter. And their dynamic duo, nobody has found a way to stop them in the postseason thus far, and that trend kind of continued in the championships.
Yeah, that it did. And Malik with 21 points, Cummings with 16, but they also got 12 apiece from both Rekhi Lum and Mikey Crawford. And those are impressive performances. When you have to deal with Cummings and Thomas, your expectation is let's try to limit those guys as much as we can, because we're not going to stop them. And then other guys beat you, and it's, well, kind of throw your hands in the air and you have no idea what you can do about it. And I don't think that you can do anything about it. I was thinking going in that Joe Lafco and the boys at Hampton would have a little bit of a plan, sort of like they did against Rowan Carmichael, and it worked for a little bit there. But in the end, Lincoln Park, I think everyone got what they expected in Class 4A, was that Lincoln Park was going to run the table relatively easily. And that's what they ended up doing. And Peter Kramer, a tough night too for a guy that's had a ton of success at the high school level. 3 for 17 himself from the field, only 6 points. They got 20 from Liam Mignogna, but when your best player has an output of 3 for 17 and 0 of 7 from 3-point land, they either did something well against him or it just was one of those nights. And you know, maybe a combination of the two, but Lincoln Park did what Lincoln Park was expected to do, which was run the table in the district in Class 4A. And now we see if they can go do it in the state playoffs.
Here's an impressive stat, talking about Malik Thomas and Brandon Cummings. They combined, They were 12 points short of 200 for this postseason combined.
Nuts.
They combined for 188 points in those four Lincoln Park victories, coming up against Freeport, Knock, Uniontown, and then Hampton. That's and like you said, you start getting production from others.
Yeah. You get two other double-digit scores in a game, and you said you throw your hands up in the air and you say, I don't know if we could have done anything about that at this point.
All right, the 4A matchups, Lincoln Park, interesting matchup. You still color them the favorite to win the state, so you expect them to win the first round, but might be a little bit of a challenge. They'll be taking on Montour, a couple of WPIL teams meeting Friday night. These Class 4A first-rounders are all on Friday. Uniontown, home to Grove City out of District 10. Avonworth on the road. They're at Punxsutawney from District 9. North Catholic heads north. They will be taking on Warren from District 10. South Allegheny heads east, way east. They're playing at Eastern York at 6 o'clock on Friday. Also, Hampton will be home in round one. They will be taking on Hickory out of District 10. So again, sort of like a Monte Christian, Lincoln Park is one of the favorites to win the PIAA 4A boys basketball championship. Anyone else that you see that can get hot at least until they play Lincoln Park?
Yeah, I think a couple. I think Hampton was impressive throughout the postseason running what they did, and I'll talk about Avonworth in a second. What they did to Avonworth defensively, very impressive. A coach that has been around and knows what he's doing, and a team with Peter Kramer and the gang and McNogna and whoever that can make a little bit of noise. I think both the 3 and 4 seeds out of District 7 are actually a really good basketball team too. Uniontown gave Lincoln Park a run for their money in the semifinals. And Avonworth, they're going to go as Rowan Carmichael goes. Yep. I'm still going to, you know, I'll die on the hill of Rowan Carmichael is one of the best scorers in this district. Pure scorers, maybe not best basketball player, plays good defense, but he is one of the best scorers in this district and very fun to watch. So there's going to be a lot of teams, at least outside of District 7, that maybe they know about him, but they don't know how as much to stop a guy like that and try to limit him. So I think all four of those top four teams, Lincoln Park, and then the next three with Hampton, Avonworth, and Uniontown can all make some noise. And I don't know that Montour will give much of a game to Lincoln Park, but I've been wrong before. So let's see if the Spartans can do a little bit at least to try and avoid Lincoln Park winning the thing in 4A.
Yeah, as I mentioned, Amani Christian is the favorite. They're ranked number one in our Trib HSSN state rankings going into the PIAA playoffs. Aliquippa, I think, is 2 and 2A. Lincoln Park is 2 and 4A. Newman Goretti, that's the team they beat last year, and that's the team that had won championships previously. Right now is ranked number one, but Lincoln Park, it's going to take a massive effort, even by Newman Goretti, who, by the way, did beat Lincoln Park earlier this year in a non-section game. Expect those two to rematch 2 weeks down the road. So a lot of basketball needs to be played before that happens at the Giant Center. All right, to 5A now, where the top seed, the Moon Tigers, had a battle, major battle. They had a fight from behind, down 3 after 1, down 6 at the half, down 5 going into the fourth quarter. But they outscore Franklin Regional 16-6 in that final quarter. And Moon prevails 53-48 over the Franklin Regional Panthers, leaving the Panthers still searching for that elusive WPIL basketball crown.
Yeah, I think the second best game of the weekend here when it came to the Peterson Events Center, only second to the other 5A game, which would have been the girls of Armstrong and South Fayette. Just overtime, great game. Emma Paul was sensational. I'm sure you guys talked about that on the girls podcast. But yeah, this was a really good basketball game. If it's not for 2-for-13 shooting in the fourth quarter from Franklin Regional, they probably win that game. But Michael Santacola was really impressive. 13 from Aiden Reisman. Elijah Guillory kind of got held in check a little bit. Only took 9 attempts, was only had 11 points. That's after a 30-plus, I think 39-point performance in the semifinal against Thomas Jefferson. Yeah. So they did well against Elijah Guillory, and we went into that game knowing if they can do pretty well against Guillory, Franklin's going to have a shot. Cooper Rankin was impressive. Cam Rao was impressive. That Franklin team's a good basketball team, but I think in the end, Moon just had a little bit too much, and they essentially go wire to wire in 2024, at least, in terms of being number one in the 5A rankings once Gateway fell off a little bit to win a championship, and then a really impressive performance from Moon the other night in Franklin as well, a real good basketball game between those two.
Yeah, the dynamic duo for the Panthers, Cam Rowe and Cooper Rankin. Rankin, really, I like his total game, strong defensively as well, combined for 31 points. But not enough as Moon takes home the gold. Coming up on Friday night in 5A, Moon will be hosting Obama Academy from the City League. That's a 7 o'clock start. Also home is Franklin Regional. 5 p.m. start as they host Warwick from District 3. Shaler also earns a home game. 6 p.m. start, they will take on another District 3 team, Greencastle Antrim. Gateway has their hands full as they head east to the central part of the state to take on Mechanicsburg out of District 3. That is a 6 p.m. start. Bethel Park, man, they might as well bus together. Bethel Park goes to neighboring Hershey. That is a 6 p.m. start. So the road to Hershey begins in Hershey where the Blackhawks. Fox Chapel goes north. They will be taking on District 10's Cathedral Prep at the Haggerty Family Events Center at 7 p.m. And Thomas Jefferson also heading east. They will be taking on York Suburban at 6 p.m. Who jumps out in 5A?
Well, I think this one's easy for me, and it's just because I saw them the most. I think it's TJ. I think that's probably the second best, if not the best team in Class 5A. I think they – tough to come off the loss they did against Moon and play in that third place game. I'm not sure how that game kind of unfolded, but that's a team that if it's shooting the lights out and if it's even shooting well, that team is going to win a lot of basketball games. Evan Berger, sensational. I've been impressed with all of those guys. Noah Prosser is, I think, one of the most underrated players in this district as a senior for TJ. It's a senior-laden group. That's a team that I think can make some noise if it's playing really good basketball. That said, that there are a handful of teams in Class 5. I think maybe you can go win a game or two and see how deep they can get. I've been impressed at times with Bethel Park this year. Fox Chapel was always going to defend. Shaler has had a great season. Franklin Regional, a great season. And don't sleep on Gateway a little bit. I know it's going to be a tough task, but if that team is playing like Gateway can play basketball, that Gators team is a really good basketball team and fun to watch. So I think all those teams really in Class 5A have a little bit of a shot to make noise. But if I'm to pick one, it's definitely Thomas Jefferson coming out of Class 5A other than Moon.
All right, let's wrap it up with 6A. You had the call on the network. Upper St. Clair takes care of business, jumping out to the early lead. And they knock off Baldwin in the rubber game of their three-game set this season, 64-41. When the Panthers are cooking, they can play defense, either half court or they can come at you. But when they're hitting their shots and they got a big, boy, they're tough to knock off, and Baldwin found that out.
And they got a big that when he plays – like he can, is I think one of the better players in the district. I mean, Tyler Robbins, I've seen him a handful of times now this season. There have been times where I've come away, maybe not thoroughly unimpressed isn't the right way to put it, but kind of disappointed in the effort that Tyler Robbins put out there. And that's not a slight on him. That's just because I think he should be a lot more involved on a nightly basis. And he's got a chance to be a really good basketball player moving forward to the next level. But, man, he was on the other night, 9 of 11 from the field. He was great defensively, good on the glass as always. 22 and 12 is a real good night for Tyler Robbins, and he had 5 blocks. I think he actually had 6 blocks. They missed a block that was in the corner in, I think, the third or fourth quarter that Bobby and I both had down as a block, but stays with five blocks in the box score, so so be it. Brett Minor was really impressive. He had a good last couple of games, semifinal into the championship, two double-digit performances, and had a couple big threes and big free throws late for Upper St. Clair to kind of keep them pulling away from Baldwin in that game. He had 19, and they didn't really need Christian Ito to be really good, and Ito scored 8 points, and that's a team that can really defend it. And I still compliment Danny Holzer's effort. When Julian Dahlem gets in foul trouble, he just subs Jake Foster in there. Here comes this little kind of lanky sophomore, and Foster defends the hell out of the ball. I think he's a really good player and has a chance to be a real good defender for Danny's club going forward. Paige Strobel being back was big. But listen, when you go 31% from the field and 2-for-18 from three, and your top scorer in Nate Wessling, along with Richards. Richards had 18, but when Wessling's held a 3-of-16 shooting, sort of the same way Kramer was for Hampton, you're just not going to win many basketball games, especially against a team like Upper St. Clair. Baldwin just never got into an offensive rhythm. In the second half was deplorable. This the third quarter, just brutal for them offensively. Just couldn't buy a bucket in a 2-for-15 third quarter. Real impressed with the crowd. And I said this after the game, Baldwin's still got the state playoff run to go on now, but that program and that community's got a hell of a lot to be proud of this year. And Jeff Ackerman's turnaround from, and we talked about it on the preview, and I said it on the air again, I don't mean it as a knock, but they were an afterthought for 20 years as a boys basketball program between playoff victories. Not only did they knock that off the shelf, but they go and make a championship for the first time in 39 years. The community showed out. The student section was easily the biggest of the weekend. Was real impressed with the crowd and the effort. I know it was a disappointing loss for the Fighting Highlanders, but they've got another shot here once it gets to the state playoffs, and they're not going to shoot 2-for-18 from three every night. That's a team that when it knocks down shots again, easy to say about every basketball team, when you knock down shots, you're going to win a lot of games, but that's a team that's a good basketball team, and they'll, I imagine, bounce back in the first round on this weekend.
Christian Ito with 8, but again, they're not even to the championship if he doesn't have that monster fourth quarter against Butler in the quarterfinals. Wessling, Nate Wessling, had been averaging 22 in the two playoff victories, but as Kyle mentioned, held to only 7. Keys to that one. So only 3 teams from the WPAL, all in the South Hills, will be representing District 7 in the PIAA playoffs. 2 of them are home coming up Saturday. Upper St. Clair will be hosting Central Dauphin out of District 3. That's a 1 o'clock start. This is the problem with pre-bracketing. Baldwin, the 2 seed out of the WPIL, will be home, but they were playing a McDowell team that was 20-5 this season. Meanwhile, because McDowell was upset by State College last week, State College will be taking on District 7's number 3 team, Mount Lebanon. State College is 12-12 as the Blue Devils head east to take on the Little Lions at 3 p.m. Again, that's pre-bracketing. So one upset really sort of throws a monkey wrench into things. I'll open the door, including all 3 teams. Which one goes the furthest?
Upper St. Clair. I think that's the, I think, again, that's probably the easy answer, but I've just seen them the most. I've seen all 3 of the teams, so it's easy for me to talk about all 3 of them, but I think Upper St. Clair. That said, Mount Lebanon gets a big favor in that State College team. I'm not saying that game's going to be easy, but when you pre-bracket and you have the sub-regional where there's one upset and all of a sudden, I think Mount Lebanon gets the better end of the stick than Baldwin playing a 20-win McDowell team. I would say Upper St. Clair, but again, that's, I've seen them the most. I know what that group can do, and Danny Holzer's got that team playing really good basketball right now, and I wouldn't be surprised at all for them to make a pretty deep run. I wouldn't be surprised for any of 3 of these teams to make a deep run. That section is really, really good in Class 6A, and there's a lot of good teams that even in 6A are not in the state playoffs as a result of 3 teams being there.
Deeper you go, though, you start running into the District 3 and the District 1, but predominantly the District 12 teams, and again, there are some strong District 12 teams that will need to be beat if you want to get to the if you want to hoist gold in Hershey in that final game of the 2023-2024 season. Kyle, great job as always. we appreciate it. We'll probably talk to you again next week. By then, we'll be through the first two rounds and getting everyone ready for the quarterfinals.
Sounds like a plan, Don.
All right. Appreciate Kyle Dawson's expertise. Thanks to Chris Lackner as well. I'm Don Rebel. Thank you for joining us as we get ready to ride the road to Hershey on the Trib Live High School Sports Network.